You're listening to Aloud, a series of dynamic conversations, readings, and performances at the Los Angeles Central Library. I'm Louise Steinman from the Library Foundation of Los Angeles. Today's conversation is part of Visualizing Language, Oaxaca in LA, an exhibition and program series presented by LFLA as part of the Getty's Pacific Standard Time, LALA initiative. From street art to Oaxacan cuisine, Visualizing Language presents free events throughout the city from September through January 2018. Visit lfla.org/Oaxaca to learn more, and please join us to see the new murals in Central Library or at a celebration of Oaxacan culture in a neighborhood library near you. Good evening and welcome. Thank you to our wonderful Kaweah Bird Singers. Good evening and welcome to Lengua Sin Frontera, Poetry Without Borders, with poets Natalie Diaz, Lely Long Soldier, and Natalia Toledo. My comments are being simultaneously interpreted in Spanish. Please listen in if you'd prefer to hear me in Spanish. Si prefiere, escúchame en español. Por favor, use el equipo. Again, special thanks to Mike Morales and the Kaweah Bird Singers. Mike first heard birdsong at age 17 when he heard it at a funeral on the Kaweah Reservation. He sought out elders who knew the bird songs, and he's been instrumental in teaching and mentoring others. So thank you for sharing those beautiful songs with us tonight. So tonight, while our poets read their work, you will either hear translations read by the poets themselves from Spanish to English and vice versa, or via your headsets and your program notes, which hopefully you have, will guide you. Following the readings, there will be a conversation among our three poets, and again, if you're not bilingual in English or Spanish, for that portion of the evening, you really will need a headset. Our distinguished poets reading tonight are Natalie Diaz, member of the Mojave and Pima Indian tribes, who is also a language activist and educator. Natalie's first poetry collection is When My Brother Was an Aztec. She is a 2012 Lannan Literary Fellow and the recipient of the Holmes National Poetry Prize from Princeton University. Lely Long Soldier is a member of the Oglala Sioux tribe, a member of the Oglala Lakota Nation. She is a recipient of the 2015 Lannan Literary Fellowship, a 2016 Whiting Award, and her newest collection of poems, Whereas, is shortlisted for the National Book Award. And yes. And visiting us tonight from Mexico, Natalia Toledo is the first woman to write and publish poetry in her native language, Isthmus Zapotec, even though it has existed as a written language for more than 2,000 years. In 2004, she won the Nezahualcóyotl Prize, Mexico's most prestigious prize for indigenous language literature. She reads her poetry all over the world, and she's been a great supporter of this project from the beginning. She'll be teaching a poetry workshop this Sunday at Central Library, so please pick up a flyer. It's family-friendly. I'm so pleased you can be here for this special project. Let's give our poets a very warm welcome to the Los Angeles Public Library.
Iwan Jehotan, Kivak Idum, Hakuloi Manch, Vikwa Me Manvinch. Bienvenidos a todos. It's lucky to be here. I want to make sure we acknowledge the people whose land we're on, the Tonga land. In Mojave, we don't distinguish often between the body and the land, and so I think that's really important to acknowledge the people and their land. Also, I wanted to say Kom Korohma to Mike and Sonny and Joe. The songs they were singing are also my people's songs. They're also Mojave songs. And we call them Itier. So Itier Isvark or Itier Suvirk, they sang. So Alacran, scorpion, cut. My brother has a knife in his hand. He has decided to stab my father. This could be a story from the Bible if it wasn't already a story about stars. I weep, Alacranes. The scorpions clatter to the floor like yellow metallic scissors. They land upside down on their backs and eyes, but writhe and flip to their segmented bellies. My brother has forgotten to wear shoes again. My scorpions circle him, whip at his heels. In them is what stings in me. It brings my brother to the ground. He rises, still holding the knife. My father ran out of the house, down the street, crying like a lamplighter. But nobody turned their lights on. It is dark. The only light left is in the scorpions. There is a small light left in the knife, too. My brother now wants to give me the knife. Some might say my brother wants to stab me. He tries to pass it to me, like it is a good thing, like, don't you want a little light in your belly? Like the way Orion and Scorpius, across all that black night, past the sun. My brother loosens his mouth, between his teeth throbbing red antares. One way to open a body to the stars, with a knife. One way to love a sister, help her bleed light.
La traducción al español del poema de Natalia o Natalie. Alacrán, escorpio, corte. Mi hermano sostiene un cuchillo, ha decidido matar a mi padre. Esta podría ser una historia bíblica si no fuera ya una sobre las estrellas. Lloro alacranes, caen al piso tartaleando como tijeras amarillas de metal. Aterrizan de cabeza sobre lomos y ojos, pero se tuercen y posan en sus vientres segmentados. Mi hermano olvidó otra vez calzarse. Mis alacranes lo cercan, latigan sus talones. En ellos es lo que punza en mí y hace que mi hermano se desplome. Se levanta, sosteniendo el cuchillo todavía. Mi padre salió corriendo de la casa, por la calle, gritando como farolero. Pero nadie encendió la luz, está oscuro. La sola luz restante está en los alacranes. También queda un poco de luz en el cuchillo. Mi hermano ahora quiere darme el cuchillo. Alguien diría, mi hermano quiere apuñalarme. Trata de pasármelo como si fuera algo bueno. ¿De qué? ¿No quieres poquita luz en la panza? Del modo en que Orión y Escorpio a través de toda esa noche negra pasan el sol. Mi hermano afloja la boca. Entre sus dientes, rojo, palpitante antares. Una forma de abrir un cuerpo a las estrellas a cuchillo. Una forma de querer a una hermana. Ayúdala a que sangre luz.
How's that? Can you hear me? Here we go. Leili kichita hanska, Leili long soldier imachi api, da ya hipi na chante washte na bechi usapi. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. I'm very honored to be invited and to be here in your community. I'm going to read a piece called 38, and it's a little bit of a longer piece. When I first wrote this and I read it publicly at a college, a university. I looked out and I saw all these students falling asleep. So it is longer, but so I was really scared to read it in public for a long time, but just hang in there with me. I hope that it'll be worth it. Here, the sentence will be respected. I will compose each sentence with care by minding what the rules of writing dictate. For example, all sentences will begin with capital letters. Likewise, the history of the sentence will be honored by ending each one with appropriate punctuation, such as a period or question mark, thus bringing the idea to momentary completion. You may like to know, I do not consider this a creative piece. I do not regard this as a poem of great imagination or a work of fiction. Also, historical events will not be dramatized for an interesting read. Therefore, I feel most responsible to the orderly sentence, conveyor of thought. That said, I will begin. You may or may not have heard about the Dakota 38. If this is the first time you've heard of it, you may wonder, what is the Dakota 38? The Dakota 38 refers to 38 Dakota men who were executed by hanging under orders from President Abraham Lincoln. To date, this is the largest legal mass execution in U.S. history. The hanging took place on December 26, 1862, the day after Christmas. This was the same week that President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. In the preceding sentence, I italicize same week for emphasis. There was a movie titled Lincoln about the presidency of Abraham Lincoln. The signing of the Emancipation Proclamation was included in the film Lincoln. The hanging of the Dakota 38 was not. In any case, you might be asking, why were 38 Dakota men hung? As a side note, the past tense of hang is hung, but when referring to the capital punishment of hanging, the correct past tense is hanged. So it's possible that you're asking, why were 38 Dakota men hanged? They were hanged for the Sioux uprising. I want to tell you about the Sioux uprising, but I don't know where to begin. I may jump around and details will not unfold in chronological order. Keep in mind, I am not a historian. So I will recount facts as best I can, given limited resources and understanding. Before Minnesota was a state, the Minnesota region, generally speaking, was the traditional homeland for Dakota, Anishinaabeg, and Ho-Chunk people. During the 1800s, when the U.S. expanded territory, they, quote, purchased land from the Dakota people, as well as the other tribes. But another way to understand that sort of purchase is Dakota leaders ceded land to the U.S. government in exchange for money or goods, but most importantly, the safety of their people. Some say that Dakota leaders did not understand the terms they were entering, or they never would have agreed. Even others call the entire negotiation trickery. But to make whatever it was official and binding, the U.S. government drew up an initial treaty. This treaty was later replaced by another, more convenient treaty, and then another. I've had difficulty unraveling the terms of these treaties, given the legal speak and congressional language. As treaties were abrogated or broken, and new treaties were drafted, one after another, the new treaties often referenced old, defunct treaties, and it is a muddy switchback trail to follow. Although I often feel lost on this trail, I know I am not alone. However, as best as I can put facts together, in 1851, Dakota Territory was contained to a 12-mile by 150-mile long strip along the Minnesota River. But just 7 years later, in 1858, the northern portion was ceded or taken, and the southern portion was conveniently allotted, which reduced Dakota land to a stark 10-mile tract. These amended and broken treaties are often referred to as the Minnesota Treaties. The word Minnesota comes from Mini, which means water, and Sota, which means turbid. Synonyms for turbid include muddy, unclear, cloudy, confused, and smoky. Everything is in the language we use. For example, a treaty is essentially a contract between two sovereign nations. The U.S. treaties with the Dakota Nation were legal contracts that promised money. It could be said this money was payment for the land the Dakota ceded, for living within assigned boundaries, a reservation, and for relinquishing rights to their hunting territory, which in turn made Dakota people dependent on other means to survive, money. The previous sentence is circular, akin to so many aspects of history. As you may have guessed by now, the money promised in the turbid treaties did not make it into the hands of Dakota people. In addition, local government traders would not offer credit to Indians to purchase food or goods. Without money, store credit, or rights to hunt beyond their 10-mile tract of land, Dakota people began to starve. The Dakota people were starving. The Dakota people starved. In the preceding sentence, the word starved does not need italics for emphasis. One should read the Dakota people starved as a straightforward and plainly stated fact. As a result, and without other options but to continue to starve, Dakota people retaliated. Dakota warriors organized, struck out, and killed settlers and traders. This revolt is called the Sioux Uprising. Eventually, the U.S. cavalry came to Minnesota and to confront the uprising. More than 1,000 Dakota people were sent to prison. I should note, I've read several different accounts of the numbers. So again, I'm not a historian. But as already mentioned, 38 Dakota men were subsequently hanged. After the hanging, those 1,000 Dakota prisoners were released. However, as further consequence, what remained of Dakota territory in Minnesota was dissolved or stolen. The Dakota people had no land to return to. This means they were exiled. Homeless, the Dakota people of Minnesota were relocated or forced onto reservations in South Dakota and Nebraska. Now, every year, a group called the Dakota 38 plus two riders conduct a memorial horse ride from Lower Brule, South Dakota, to Mankato, Minnesota. Have you guys heard of this ride? Anybody? Yeah, a few hands. If you haven't heard of the Dakota 38 riders, 38 plus two riders, I highly recommend Googling it or on YouTube. They have some beautiful videos of this ride they do every year. The memorial riders travel 325 miles on horseback for 18 days, sometimes through sub-zero blizzards. They conclude their journey on December 26th, the day of the hanging. Memorials help focus our memory on particular people or events. Often, memorials come in the forms of plaques, statues, or gravestones. The memorial for the Dakota 38 is not an object inscribed with words, but an act. Yet, I started this piece because I was interested in writing about grasses. So there is one other event to include, although it's not in chronological order, and we must backtrack a little. When the Dakota people were starving, as you may remember, government traders would not extend store credit to Indians. One trader named Andrew Myrick is famous for his refusal to provide credit to Dakota people by saying, "If they are hungry, let them eat grass." There are variations of Myrick's words, but they are all something to that effect. When settlers and traders were killed during the Sioux Uprising, one of the first to be executed by the Dakota was Andrew Myrick. When Myrick's body was found, his mouth was stuffed with grass. I am inclined to call this act by Dakota warriors a poem. There is irony in their poem. There was no text. Real poems do not really require words. I have italicized the previous sentence to indicate inner dialogue, a revealing moment. But on second thought, the words, "let them eat grass," click the gears of the poem into place. So we could also say language and word choice are crucial to the poem's work. Things are circling back again. Sometimes when in a circle, if I wish to exit, I must leap and let the body swing from the platform out to the grasses. Thank you.
La chaparra. Muy buenas noches. Muchísimas gracias por estar aquí. Bueno, yo soy de Juchitán, Oaxaca, ese pueblo que acaba de desaparecer después de los terremotos. Y yo quisiera dedicarle a mis paisanos que están allá reconstruyendo sus casas y reconstruyendo sus almas mi lectura. Y también a los que están acá, por supuesto. Voy a leer primero en zapoteco y después mi versión en español. Este libro es de un libro que me publicaron aquí. Raruzulu gijilayu. Gukkanu shlasha diushi. Gie bijinya nemigu. Gukkanu yaga gucheza belle. Bakanda nelibana guni bishose bidanu. Biaba nundani gishi. Gubija bitidi basha stila jidono. Gukkanu pumpu au. Gukkanu nisa au. Yananakkanu de. Biana jana gisu gijilayu. Origen. Fuimos escama de Dios, flor, venado y mono. Fuimos la tea que partió el rayo y el sueño que contaron nuestros abuelos. Caímos en el monte y el sol nos atravesó con su flecha. Fuimos cántaro, au, fuimos agua, au. Ahora somos ceniza bajo la olla del mundo.
Origin. We were scales sloughed from God, flower, deer, and monkey. We were the trunk split by a lightning bolt, and the sermon told by our grandparents. We fell to the green earth, and the sun ran through us with his arrow. We were the jug. Ow.
I feel like I cannot do that. You should do that part.
We were the water. Now we are ashes beneath the cauldron of the world. Thank you.
Te faltó un au. Me encanta este poema porque cada idioma cambia. Yo como lo digo en zapoteco y cuando lo leo en español es muy diferente, ¿no? Y se va haciendo más chiquito y ya dijo, au, así, como un perro golpeado. Bueno. Rabizia kalinda. Ridide kaji. Neshelushaga nenaka getushtine. Rari. Dani yodi, magasti shaga nena, bishose dubiasaka, nezineka la chidodo, la herida de los linderos. Paso mis días sobre las mejillas y los brazos de los muertos. Aquí, en esta casa, ya no quedan mejillas ni brazos. Nuestros padres migraron y con ellos nuestros corazones.
Boundaries, wounds. I spent my days between the dead's cheeks and arms. Here at home there are no cheeks nor arms left. Our parents migrated and our hearts with them.
Native Americans make up less than 1% of the population of the United States, from 100% to less than 1%. We are also the group that is killed at the highest rate per capita than any other race. in the United States. And we are also the race who volunteers at a higher rate than any other race per capita for the United States military. Catching copper. My brothers have a bullet. They keep their bullet on a leash, shiny as a whip of blood. My brothers walk their bullet with a limp, a clipped hip bone. My brother's bullet is a math head, is all geometry. From a distance is just a bee and its sting. Like a bee, you should see my brother's bullet make a comb by chewing holes in what is sweet. My brothers lose their bullet all the time. When their bullet takes off on them, their bullet leaves a hole. My brothers search their houses, their bodies for their bullet, and a little red ghost moans. Eventually, my brothers call out, "Here, bullet, here." Their bullet comes running, buzzing. Their bullet always comes back to them. When their bullet comes back to them, their bullet leaves a hole. My brothers are too slow for their bullet because their bullet is in a hurry and wants to get the lead out. My brother's bullet is dressed for a red carpet in a copper jacket. My brothers tell their bullet, "Careful, you don't hurt somebody with all that flash." My brothers kiss their bullet in a dark cul-de-sac in front of the corner store ice machine, in the passenger seat of their car, on a strobe-lighted dance floor. My brother's bullet kisses them back. My brothers break and dance for their bullet, the jerk, the stanky leg. They pop, lock, and drop for their bullet, a move that has them writhing on the ground. The worm, my brothers call it. Yes, my brothers go all worm for their bullet. My brother's bullet is registered, is a bullet of letters, has a PD, a CIB, a GSW, if they are lucky, an EMT, if not, a 999, a DNR, a DOA. My brothers never call the cops on their bullet and instead pledge allegiance to their bullet with hands over their hearts and stomachs and throats. My brothers say they would die for their bullet. If my brothers die, their bullet would be lost. If my brothers die, there's no bullet to begin with. The bullet is for living brothers. My brothers feed their bullet the way the bulls fed Zeus, burning on a pyre, their own thigh bones wrapped in fat. My brothers take a knee, bow against the asphalt, prostrate on the concrete for their bullet. We wouldn't go so far as to call our bullet a prophet, my brothers say. But my brother's bullet is always lit like a night church. It makes my brothers holy. You could say my brother's bullet cleans them, the way red ants wash the empty white bowl of a dead coyote's eye socket. Yes, my brother's bullet cleans them, makes them ready for God.
Bueno, esta lengua que yo hablo es la primera que se escribió, que tuvo indicios de escritura en toda la América, que es el zapoteco. Por supuesto que yo no escribo en piedras, pero así, así es. Bueno, Nigikati es Eliot. Dani batana yagule magie nasiñarini, siulane sicaru. Kisanda gusianda jibi gusane cabenagira nigulenia. Gusaya rajine batanaya. Bitide gidiladera già begne, nendani gielo abi già iusinui, gula kikabela yamudubina, purti gulle lugianissa, guria iacina rigu do iati benda kayaka rignina, negucca tiresias, binite gielo a, kini kigne guni siora gusaias tu bendani kajima gussi, gunanga ni bisana nebi nigenda lanu, si iusigie bisana ne kabelanu, Cajigne su tipica di jaguni gnaca, ne zazarenda casicatimani di papandanigishi, ne girutti sanna tulaca. Girave unuane zaghette, Balagari zaluni sakatini, nirini skanda gielu ape peyase. Sabigeta si gukashi eskije, si guyash tuvesa nativa kanda zinya. Chupa bladu gendarosi asitagua, sa didelaga ne salugia, ni biyosho kisukweza na. Sindayara nuhia vidan tegiruche girabelegi. Sakashti bieke, shabadu ya pawini niriba kikabegie bakuai kelaga. Shaba duruna ni jistigie, sabigeta skije, ziasi gusianda gielua. Para ti es Eliot. De mis manos crecieron flores rojas, largas y hermosas. ¿Cómo olvidar el miedo con que fui despojada de toda certeza? Caminé con las manos y metí mi cuerpo donde había lodo. Mis ojos se llenaron de arena fina. Me llamaron la niña de los nenúfares porque mi raíz era la superficie del agua. Pero también fui mordida por una culebra apareándose en el estero y quedé ciega. Fui Tiresias que recorrió sin báculo su historia. ¿Cuáles son las raíces que prenden? ¿Qué ramas brotan de estos cascajos? Tal vez soy la última rama que hablará zapoteco. Mis hijos tendrán que silbar su idioma y serán aves sin casa en la jungla del olvido. En todas las estaciones estoy en el sur, barco herrumbrado que sueñan mis ojos de jicaco negro. A oler mi tierra iré, a bailar un son bajo una enramada sin gente, a comer dos cosas iré. Cruzaré la plaza, el norte no me detendrá. Llegaré a tiempo para abrazar a mi abuela antes que caiga la última estrella. Volveré a ser la niña que porta en su párpado derecho un pétalo amarillo. La niña que llora leche de flores. A sanar mis ojos, iré. Gracias.
The English translation. For T.S. Eliot, red flowers, long and beautiful, grew from my fingers. How to forget the fear that robbed me of all certainty? I walked with my hands wedged my body when there was mud. My eyes filled with fine sand. They called me the girl of the water lilies because my root was the water's surface. But I was also bitten by a snake mating in the marsh and became blind. I was Tiresias, making his way with no staff. What are the roots that clutch? What branches grow out of this stony rubbish? Perhaps I am the final branch who will speak Zapotec. My children, homeless birds in the jungle of forgetfulness, will have to whistle their language. During all seasons, I am in the south, a rusted boat dreamt by my eyes of black cocoa plum. I will go to smell my land, to dance a sun with no one beneath a bower. I will go to eat two meals. I will cross the plaza. The north wind will not stop me, will arrive in time to embrace my grandma before the last star falls. I will go back to being the girl who wears a yellow petal on her right eyelid, the girl who cries flowers milk. I will go to cure my eyes.
In this book, I wrote a series of 28 pieces responding to the National Apology to Native Americans. And in that response, I mirrored the structure of that apology, which contains 20 whereas statements, seven resolutions, and two disclaimers at the end. I'm going to read one of those resolutions, Resolution 2. And this is actually using language from the congressional resolution. And then I've reworked it on the page. I commend this land and this land, honor this land, native this land, peoples this land, for this land, the this land, thousands this land of this land, years this land, that this land, they this land have this land stewarded, this land and this land protected, this land.
A ver si me sale. Yo elogio esta tierra y esta tierra honro esta tierra. A los pueblos, esta tierra, indígenas, esta tierra, por esta tierra, los esta tierra, miles esta tierra, de esta tierra, años esta tierra, que esta tierra, ellos esta tierra, han esta tierra, custodiado esta tierra y esta tierra, protegido esta tierra, esta tierra, esta tierra, esta tierra, esta tierra, esta tierra, esta, esta.
Aloud is made possible through support provided by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the National Endowment for the Arts, and Errant Fox. Additional support provided by the Los Angeles Public Library, the Stay Home and Read a Book Ball, Sharon Oxborough, the estate of Suzanne Aaron, Donna and Martin J. Wolf, Julia Meltzer, and individual Library Foundation members. Media support is provided by LA Weekly, KCRW 89.9 FM, and KUSC 91.5 FM. Music by Boya Pongo. Support these free programs by becoming a member of the Library Foundation of Los Angeles. Visit lfla.org for more information.